Hello, friends. This is Fred Dominguez. In 1988, a song by Bobby McFerrin took America by storm as it skyrocketed to number one on the pop music charts. The song had a catchy tune with a decidedly upbeat rhythm, and it was entitled, "Don't Worry, Be Happy." Like most top-ranked songs, there was a period of time when it seemed as though this song played three or four times every hour. After a while, some of us got to the point where we felt like we'd throw our radios through the window if we ever heard that stupid song one more time. In a way, this song epitomized the vastly different approaches to life that characterized many adults and a large percentage of the young people of that era. The adults were consumed with concerns and worries, while the young people essentially took nothing seriously. Naturally, these are extreme points of view that probably don't represent the majority of society, but they remind us that worry is an ever-present factor in life. Whether it is about the mundane things of life, such as food, clothing, and shelter, or more serious matters such as one's health or career, the legitimate concerns about the dangers of war or terrorism, or the irrational fears of imagined dangers, we all fall victim to worry at some time. The scriptures are not oblivious to this reality. They do not take a head-in-the-sand approach as though there is nothing about which to be concerned, but neither do they lead us to view everything so seriously that we are paralyzed with fear. Instead, the scriptures put worry into proper perspective so that we may live abundantly and accomplish the Lord's purposes in our lives. Today, we will let the scriptures direct us in the proper response to worry. The first step in our study is to acknowledge the reality of worry from a biblical perspective. It would be foolish and untrue to suggest that worry was not a part of first century life. People are the same today as they were then, and people tend to worry. We may not realize that even the Lord and his apostles experienced what we would call worry. One cannot read the prayer of our Lord in John chapter 17 without seeing his concern for the welfare of his chosen apostles. In verse 15 of that chapter, Jesus said, "I do not ask you to take them out of this world, but to keep them from the evil one." In at least some sense of the word, the Lord was expressing his worries about his apostles. Likewise, the Apostle Paul expressed what we would reasonably call worry in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 22 to 28. Here he recounted the many trials that he had undergone up to that point in his ministry, but the most telling part of this passage is verse 28. In this verse, Paul said, "Apart from such external things, there is the daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches." With all that Paul had suffered, what bore down on him the hardest was his concern for the congregations he had established and to whom he had ministered. Although he did not use the word worry in this verse, this is exactly what he was expressing in its most basic form. So it is clear that worry was as prevalent in the days of our Lord and of his apostles as it is today. This does not demean them in any way, of course, because from their examples, we learn how to properly deal with worry in our own lives. Before we turn to the scriptures, let's define what we mean by worry. In the dictionary, the word worry is defined in this way: to feel distressed in the mind, to be anxious, troubled, or uneasy. It is also defined as anxiety, distress, care, or uneasiness, or a troubled state of mind. Worry, then, we see from these definitions, is a state of mind in which a person is to some degree fearful over what may potentially take place at some point in the near or distant future. The degree to which one is worried will affect his actions or his ability to act in those particular circumstances. The good news about much of our worry is that it does not keep us from functioning in the world. In other words, we deal with our concerns in an appropriate manner and carry on with life. These are the situations where we have legitimate concerns about things like the health and safety of our children, or the safety of our car, or the condition of our house or place of business, or other such things. We take all the necessary precautions in each case, and then we go about our business without missing a beat. On the other hand, there are worries that paralyze us with fear, or which keep us from doing what we know to be right. These are the kinds of worries that are impediments to our faith, and it is these with which the Scriptures are primarily concerned. The Lord's desire is that we not be so distressed or troubled in mind that we are unable to properly and faithfully serve Him. Against this kind of worry, we find specific commands in Scripture. The first of these is found in the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, Jesus said, "For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life, as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" The Greek word that Jesus used in this statement for worry is in the form of a command, that is, do not worry. It's a command not to worry. And it comes from a root word that means to divide the mind. This word is universally translated as to worry or to be anxious about something. But the reason for Jesus' command here is that to be worried about these things divides one's mind between worldly things and spiritual things. In most of our Bibles, verse 25 is indicated as the beginning of a new paragraph. But the very first words of verse 25 are, "For this reason." This tells us that something prior to verse 25 bears upon the discussion which begins in verse 25. The something which bears upon verse 25 is what Jesus said in verse 24. He said, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." The reason why we are not to worry about our daily sustenance is because to do so is to bow down before a different master, one other than Jesus Christ. We know that this is true because we see it all around us in the world, and sometimes even in the church. This dividing of the mind is evident in the lives of men and women who sacrifice everything on the altar of making a living. If we were to question these folks, most, if not all of them, would deny that they are worried about their physical needs, but their actions belie their denials. The Lord said that we cannot serve two masters, and these workaholics are evidence of it. They will work long hours over many days in the week. They will work when they don't feel well or if they have conflicts with coworkers. They will work even if they don't like their supervisors or agree with every decision they make. They will often neglect important family occasions because they need to work and will say that they have sacrificed in order to provide for their loved ones. And if this does not adequately portray one who has bowed down at the altar of making a living, they will neglect their spiritual service to God in favor of their work. They may be sick on Sunday, but at work on Monday. No wonder Jesus said, "Don't worry about these kinds of things." Now, this is not to say that we should not be gainfully employed or work hard, because in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10, Paul said, "If anyone is not willing to work, then he is not to eat either." But instead, as we work, we must keep both it and our physical needs in proper perspective. When Jesus told his disciples not to worry, it was not just because it would cause them to bow down before another master. It was also because of his promise detailed in verses 26 to 34 that God would take care of their daily needs. Two statements in these verses illustrate God's abundance provision for those who trusted him. In verse 30, after discussing the lilies of the field, Jesus said, "But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today, and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith." Then in verse 33, he said, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." The Lord's point is a simple one. If we will make him the master we serve and seek him first in all we do, we need not worry about the essentials of life. He in his love and kindness will bless us with everything we need to live and survive in life. A second injunction against this kind of worry is found in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Here Paul said, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Now here in verse 6, Paul used the very same root word that Jesus used in Matthew 6, verse 25. We are not to worry. We are not to be anxious. We are not to have our minds divided over the things of life. It is interesting to see that Paul actually expanded the discussion beyond the scope of what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. Paul says to be anxious for nothing. In other words, in every aspect of our lives, we are not to allow ourselves to be consumed by worry. As Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 27, "And who of you by being worried can add a single hour to his life?" You see, worry accomplishes nothing good. It only robs us of the abundant life the Lord has promised if we seek him first. As Paul discussed worry, he offered the inspired formula for eliminating worry from our lives. He tells us to bring everything before the Lord by prayer and supplication. This means exactly the same thing as seeking first God's kingdom and his righteousness. It means that we approach everything in life from the perspective of what is God's will and how may I accomplish it. When we bring all our needs before the Lord, we are showing him that we are relying on him to see us through. This is the proper demeanor of one whose mind is not divided between two masters. And it is this demeanor that receives not only the blessings of the essentials of life, but also the special blessing of the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension. Those who have surrendered to God's will by obedience to the gospel and by seeking him first in all that they do are going to be free from worry. They are not going to be consumed by the fears and anxieties that plague those who are outside of Christ. They are not going to be driven to neglect their families and their service to the Lord in order to provide for physical things. Their hearts and their minds are going to be guarded by the peace of God, and therefore they will have peace even in a world that is filled with danger and uncertainty. Our world, of course, is full of extremes with regard to worry. There are some who are so consumed with worry that they fear even getting up in the morning. There are others whose worry is driving them to an early grave as they burn the candle at both ends, working to make a living. Then there are those who take the "don't worry, be happy" approach and show no concern for anything. Friends, none of these attitudes is biblical, and none of these is going to bring the peace that surpasses all comprehension. Because the scriptures teach us that that is a blessing reserved only for those whose God is the Lord and whose minds are not divided by worry. The Lord tells us not to worry because we are safe in his hands. If we have surrendered our lives to his will in obedience to the gospel, we are safe within his hands. He will provide for our needs. We don't need to worry about the kinds of things in life that the unbelievers worry about, because God has promised to provide what we need if we put him first. The question for us to consider today is, do you believe the Lord? Do you trust in his promise that he has made in the words that we've read from Scripture today? Do you trust in his promise that if you will seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, that he will provide for your every need? If you do, then you need to lay aside every burden of life. Bring them to the feet of Jesus Christ. Give them to him in humble obedience to his word. And then, don't worry. Thanks very much for listening today. Please join us again next time for Let the Bible Speak.